League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number three officially underway here on the Early on a Wednesday. We are waiting for the NFL season to begin, and boy, it's going to start in style Thursday, Friday, shot out of a cannon, full slate Sunday, Monday Night Football. It's great. It's Dubs and Donnie right in the morning to bring that action to you. So after 2 hours, all those hot topics, this topic's now in this hour number three, we're going to get to the Fade the Public poll. We're going to get to some Major League Baseball. We're going to continue having a lot of fun on this program, Dubs. It's been wonderful so far this Wednesday morning.
It's an absolute buffet for you sports fans. I tell you what, yeah. Donny, I am hungry. I've got an appetite for week one in the National Football League. The tennis continues. The Diamond plays the playoff push out there in the mix with a full slate and a full complement to get amongst it and chase that plus money. So, Donny, I love spending the Wednesday morning with you. What more do I need? Maybe a cold brew, a little coffee in the mix to get it moving in the right direction, but it's prime time for the sports fan.
A little Mio pomegranate berry, man. Ooh. Always starts the morning off in style over in the DRS household here. But it is hour number three, and we got a lot of hot topics. But the one thing we love to do, Dubsy, is to reach out to the people and find out what they're actually thinking on some of these hot topics. So our Fade the Public poll today at SportsGrid, which conference do you find more intriguing entering into this NFL season? Now, granted, there's only two conferences, so two topics you can pick out of. And right now, I'm seeing a 60-40 split with the public, Dubsy. 60% of the public says the AFC is the more intriguing conference as opposed to the NFC at 40%. Now, I'm a fan of an NFC team. That's the Philadelphia Eagles. But my vote, Dubsy, actually went to the AFC this year. How about you in this poll?
Yeah, I went to the AFC as well. And there's a couple of big storylines. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs in search of a third consecutive Lombardi. What about Aaron Rodgers at 40 years of age returning for the Jets? How are things going to look in Buffalo? Can Josh Allen do it all by himself? And what about the Baltimore Ravens? Some of the younger quarterbacks coming through. So for me, I think it's all about the AFC. Certainly very murky coming into week one. On the NFC, I feel like it's the 49ers, and until proven otherwise, Donnie, it looks to be a one-horse race on that side of things. So absolutely the AFC for me.
By the way, if we do focus on the AFC, right, and we go division by division, obviously the South, Houston, Jacksonville, Indianapolis, Tennessee, that's all fine and good. I think it's going to be Houston. If you take a look at the West, it's Kansas City. It's such a heavy favorite at a minus 270 price. I don't think there's going to be too much intrigue. But you take a look here, Dubs, at the North and the East here, which includes the North, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh, then the AFC East, the Jets, the Bills, the Dolphins, and I guess you can include the New England Patriots. But my intrigue for the AFC is not in the West or the South. The North and the East, absolutely sensational. Rock'em sock'em robot. Who's going to be the last man standing? That's why I think the AFC is going to be so intriguing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at the North, we could potentially have three teams going through to the playoffs. Yep. I think we're talking about that last Wednesday for the Ravens. Lamar, Derrick Henry joined the backfield. For the Bengals, Joey Burrow back at full health. What about the Cleveland Browns? I feel like no one's sort of hyping up Deshaun Watson back with a full billing and Myles Garrett on the other side. The Steelers with Danger Russ, obviously intrigued, I guess, to see how that quarterback battle looms there. Will Justin Fields take the reins at some point going through the regular season? And then for the AFC East, you know, a lot of bettors like Josh Allen, they like the Bills, but I feel like there's been a bit of a drop-off since Stephon Diggs left the building, but it really wasn't like his production was still at that level it once was at the back end of last season. For the Pats, well, not a lot of expectations. The Jets, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, is the time now for the star quarterback. Can he find that top gear again? I dare say no. I think it's going to be an absolute shambles for the Jets. And the Miami Dolphins, Donnie, I feel like I've talked them up a couple of times throughout the show. That's going to be my play out of the AFC East there at a bit of a price as well.
By the way, if we do focus on the AFC East, because I love that division, the top three teams I think are going to go toe-to-toe, but how do we feel, though, about the Buffalo Bills early in this preseason process, you know, dating back to when they started to open up the odds here in the spring? The Buffalo Bills were the favorites to win the AFC East at the FanDuel Sportsbook. That has now flipped over to the New York Jets at a plus 160 price. Do you agree that the Jets should be the front runner over the Buffalo Bills? And also, I know you're high on the Miami Dolphins where they sit at a nice price at a plus 210.
No, I'm not buying in on the Jets at all. I think there's going to be growing pains. And by the time that hopefully they figure it out, I think it's going to be too late. So it's a fade for me against Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. Nothing gets easier at 40 years of age. I don't care if you work at the bank down the road, 9 to 5, if you're out there on the PGA Tour playing golf. At this point in the career for Aaron Rodgers, you look at the numbers, it's been nothing but a drop off. And look, if they don't get wins out the gate, Donnie, some of these younger weapons, these younger players who have now been waiting 12 months for their chance to really get after this thing, they could get a little testy. So for the Jets, the time is now. I just don't think Aaron Rodgers is the Aaron Rodgers that we once knew from a couple of seasons ago. So for me, it's a fade against New York, but no surprises here. The big money goes towards the Jets. It was always going to be a trendy pick. It was same out last year. You look at that win total. It's one of the biggest investments I've made coming in to a new season. All about the unders. I'm that guy, Donnie. I'm not president of the Aaron Rodgers fan club. Just, you know, I don't think he makes it easy for himself. And I don't think it's going to be an easy season here for the Jets.
Yeah, we'll get that knowledge, I should say, right away in week number one, game number one, Monday Night Football, as they're going to take on the San Francisco 49ers, one of the better front sevens in football. And that rebuilt offensive line for the Jets, we'll see if they can stand up straight, or should I say Aaron Rodgers being able to stand up straight, more than a few plays to start this NFL season. But if we are looking at the NFC by total, yes, the West, minus 190 price here for San Francisco. I don't know how much of a fight they're going to get, but I do expect a competitive overall division. You take a look at the South, Atlanta for me at a minus 145 price. I do believe that they're the best team in that division, but the team that won it last year brought a lot of talent back into the fold, which included Baker Mayfield at a plus 310 price for the Buccaneers to win the South. The East, intriguing with the top two teams. The Philadelphia Eagles as the favorite, followed by the Dallas Cowboys. The one thing we do know about the East, no team has repeated as back-to-back champions of that division since 2004. And then the North, which I do think is intriguing with at least those top two teams, Detroit and Green Bay. Out of those four divisions here, Dubsy, which division do you have your eye on that you feel could be the most intriguing there?
Most intriguing is going to be the NFC North for me. You know, with so much hype and buzz behind the Chicago Bears, Caleb Williams coming in at quarterback with some fantastic dynamic weapons, they should succeed in week one. But I do think it may take a little while to find stride. And look at the other contenders here. You've got the Detroit Lions fresh off a fantastic season. You've got Jared Goff at quarterback. Amon-Ra St. Brown. The run game is going to be strong. So I think the Lions are going to be a big part of the NFC North. The Green Bay Packers, what's the ceiling for the Packers? If they show more improvement, they're looking at a potential Super Bowl. That is the kind of trajectory that one of the youngest teams in the NFL comes back with this year. Jordan Love, he does it in such an understated way. He's so mature, and why wouldn't he be? He learned off one of the best in Aaron Rodgers going through his prime. And then for the Minnesota Vikings, this is the biggest question mark for me, Donnie. I'm trying to be optimistic and make the case while we're not going to see a bit of a drop-off, a bit of a decline from the Vikings, but I do think they take a bit of a backward step. But question marks on Caleb and the Bears, how are they really going to look? How long is it going to take for them to figure things out? The Detroit Lions, I think they're going to dominate and certainly look to run it back from what we saw last season. And for the Green Bay Packers, what is the ceiling? How far can they go? I think they've only got eyes towards one prize, and it's one of the big ones.
It feels like I got referendum games like across the board, Dubs, in week number one, which is great theater to watch it play out. You look at the AFC Championship odds. It's the Chiefs and the Ravens, 1-2. They're playing opening night, which, again, could go a long way to determine who wins the AFC after just one game, because if you have the tiebreaker in your hand and you end up tied, home field advantage goes to you. You take a look at the NFC, which will begin on Friday night. It's the Packers and it's the Eagles. In the NFC, the Packers are a 9-1 price, right next to them, the Eagles at a 6-1 price. This also going to go a long way to have that tiebreaker. If both of these teams end up tied, tied, the winner, again, is going to get a home field advantage, whether it's in Green Bay at Lambeau or over in Philadelphia at Lincoln Financial Field. Then that Monday night football game right off the bat, are the Jets for real? It's hard to say if they lose to the 49ers, who I think are the better team. Like, oh, they're out of it here. But if you get a great performance out of the Jets in week number one, that could be tremendous to their psyche moving forward throughout the season. Let's get to some Major League Baseball. It's a big Wednesday card. We'll start to cover it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the early line. Happy Wednesday, Dubs Ennis alongside Donny Rideside, and we're taking it to the diamond. It's a 15-game slate coming up for your Wednesday. The Yankees up top of the AL, and, well, the Dodgers up top of the National League. Actually, Donny, the Yankees, not much more up on top there of the league. They get surpassed by the Orioles now, so the playoff push continues. Every game just matters a little bit more as we look towards October. So let's get it out to New York. The Mets playing host, game three of the series, squaring up against the Boston Red Sox. The Mets have taken the first two, and they sit at minus 104 on the money line. It's a total of eight. So the odds makers are telling us this is very close to being a pick. And what's going to be the deciding factor out there at Citi Field today?
Maybe just ride that win streak here, right? Mets to stay hot. You take a look at Tanner Houck, who I guess theoretically you could say he's the best pitcher overall in that starting lineup for the Boston Red Sox. But if we take a look at his full season, he's actually pitched against 687 batters combined. His ISO power number against is 088. That's phenomenal. His weighted on base percentage against 281. Absolutely sensational. But if you take a look, sometimes, Dubs, I say to myself, I don't care what you did in April, May, or even June at this point. We are now in the months where you're trying to win baseball games, high leverage situations to get into the playoffs, and he hasn't performed all that well. So when I take a look at just the last 60 days and say, you know what? There's 26 pitchers on my card today, minimum of 20 innings pitched over those past 2 months, and Tanner Houck is 20th out of 26. To start the season, Dubs, he'd routinely be in my top five. The ERA, a little bit leaky, close to four at a 3.95, but his analytical numbers, in particular his xFIP, is at a 4.73. That's dangerously bad, and you're taking a look at a lineup today for the Mets that over the past 30 days has hit right-handed pitching fairly well. If you look at the first five guys in that lineup, Lindor, Nimmo, Vientos, Alonso, and Winker, all above average with ISO power numbers against right-handed pitching. If we flip it over and take a look at a Mets perspective with what they have on the mound, Tyler McGill, not a great pitcher by any stretch, and has only faced 23 batters over the past month. He's been okay, but the question marks then come up. What are we getting out of the Boston Red Sox and that lineup that I'm not saying has cooled off, but there was a time where every single left-handed that batter in that lineup, I really had to get behind. Now, granted, Jaron Duran still having a fine last 30 days. You take a look at Yoshida also as well, but cooling off just a bit, Rafael Devers, Wilder Abreu, still okay numbers, but not as high as they used to be. I see that price point here where technically the Mets here on that graphic are an underdog. I'll continue to roll with the Mets. Even though the pitcher technically is better on the mound for Boston, he hasn't been that great over the past month to 2 months. I'll roll with the Mets once again.
And for you prop bettors, Freddie Lindor's had a streak of 14 straight of collecting the hits. So certainly play the hot hand. Maybe look for two or more. All right, let's take it out to the Rogers Center in Toronto. The Blue Jays playing host to the Phillies. And what a game this was last night. The Phillies get it done. Schwarber bombs goes off to get the score 10-9. It's game two. And it looks like Philly going to be favored in this spot going on the road. Currently sitting there minus 126, and that total sits at eight. If we see the same again as last night, Donnie, could that number blow wide open?
I think we could see the same thing as we saw yesterday with a Phillies victory. But again, having said that, it's an afternoon game. We'll wait to see in that starting lineup. You saw one of the final plate appearances for Bryce Harper. Had a little bit of discomfort in that elbow. Already down Alec Boehm in that lineup. We'll see if Bryce Harper is inserted back in. But if we're looking from a pitching perspective, the reason why I said yesterday we might not get the same thing in there, why? That score yesterday was 10-9, 19 total runs. Look at the two pitchers you have on the mound. And maybe not household names, but quite frankly, over the next couple of years, could be. Christopher Sanchez, out of 26 pitchers on my card today, he's number three, Dubs, in his ranking. But check this out. His ERA over the past 60 days is 5.22. You figure that'd be like last place on the card. But his analytical numbers are very favorable at a 3.32. So we'll see if that holds up against that Toronto lineup. But also another guy that's going to be pitching today for Toronto, that's Bowden Francis. Francis. You see, his last 60 days, his ERA, 2.40. His analytical numbers, his xFIP, 3.70. I think we saw a lot of runs yesterday. Afternoon getaway game today in Toronto. I think this game stays under the total, Dubs. I think that's the better bet in this game.
Chris Sanchez, 4.5 Ks. He's cleared that twice, 50-50 split for the year. So maybe another nice prop mark you can look towards. All right, let's take it out to Cincinnati. The Reds playing against one of the hottest teams in the West, the Houston Astros, coming into town. The starting up, Spencer Arrighetti gets the hill for the Astros, and Nick Martinez gets the go for the Reds. Both have pretty strong whips, Donnie, but on the ERA side of things, close to my Starbucks order from earlier today. So could we see a bit of offense trending for this one?
It's interesting that we bring that up, too, because if you take a look at the season total, it's like, boy, Arrighetti wasn't very good to start the season. As we know, that certainly goes into your numbers. Nobody's going to look at your ERA and just say, oh, well, how'd you pitch over the past 2 to 3 weeks at this point? You only see the full season numbers. But I like to get into those numbers over the past 30 and 60 days. And Spencer Arrighetti has been a pretty good pitcher here, Dubs. Number 5 on my card today. His ERA over the past 60 days, manageable at a 3.49. But how about his xFIP number, 3.63? You can get away with that. And also, we're in one of the better hitters' ballparks in Major League Baseball at Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati. Temperature's 80 degrees, but a wind is blowing in a little bit from center field. Maybe that affects it slightly, but I don't think there's going to be too much of a difference. Nick Martinez, however, 48 and a third innings pitched over the past 60 days. Look at his ERA, Dubsy, 3.35. xFIP number, 3.90. I like both of these offenses here, but I might think you're getting a discount here. I don't know if we get 10 runs in this game. So once again, I'm a guy that roots for RBIs, likes to see runs, likes to see RBI props, but I'm probably more likely today in this game to go under than I am over here.
Oh, unders, overs, Donnie, I need your assistance in this one. We're going out to the K. The Kansas City Royals have now lost 7 straight. I made the error yesterday of jumping in thinking that was the turnaround spot. They're playing host to the Guardians again in this one. The total opened at 8.5. We've seen a bit of movement. It goes back to 8.5 here. -134 for the Kansas City Royals with Seth Lugo getting out on the hill. Is Seth Lugo toeing the slab enough to turn it around for the Royals?
Yeah, it's tough. Again, sometimes you're just getting into it, like we talk about the Mets. Sometimes you just start to get a win streak or just start to get a losing streak. You can't get out of your own way. Seth Lugo started the season absolutely a man on fire, has settled down quite a bit. His last 60 days, Dubs, ERA getting close to 5 at this spot. He really struggles with left-handed batters. The key indicator there, you're going to get a lot of left-handed batters from the Guardians tonight. Kwan, Jimenez, Ramirez, Naylor, Manzardo, and Naylor as well, which is actually his brother, and then Rocchio, a switch hitter, the 9-hole spot. So if you're struggling over the past 60 days, particularly against lefties, that losing streak's going to hit 8 today, Dubs. Hate to say it.
Unders, team title, Royals, 4.5. More on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the early line. Happy Wednesday, Dubs Anderson alongside Donnie Rideside. And we're keeping it with the bigs. Major League Baseball continues here on our hump day. And we're headed down to Petco Park, a pitcher's paradise. Grab the flip-flops. Grab your beach towel. The Padres have been playing some fantastic baseball, and they've got a really good chance of to keep things going in the right direction. Yu Darvish gets out on the hill this afternoon. And the Padres heavily favored in this spot, Donnie. Is the juice worth the squeeze at -180 on the money line?
This is interesting, and it's a great development, too, because as you're trying to set up your rotation heading into the playoff, Dubs, Yu Darvish coming back, and what happens if he returns to form and is a very good pitcher here? The San Diego Padres could be hell on wheels come playoff time, but we have to get there, and he has to be good tonight. Quite frankly, it's not a great lineup, as we know, for the Detroit Tigers. Going up against right-handed pitching over the past month, they haven't succeeded all that much. Outside of Parker Meadows, Riley Green, and Kerry Carpenter, that lineup typically has been a dumpster fire. But let's flip it over to the other side and that level of trust that you have for Keiter Montero. It really isn't there technically, but his season is much worse than his last 30 days, which means he's been slightly a better pitcher. If you look at his last 107 batters that he's faced, Dubs, a 118 ISO against and a weighted on base percentage of 310, which is very good. If we extend it up to 60 days and take a look at some analytical numbers here for him, it hasn't been all that great. It's an ERA of 4.57 and an X FIP of 4.44. He's actually been a better pitcher as of late. So we are looking, and I think your words were appropriate here. That's a pitching paradise out there in San Diego. I'm going to bet that we have a decent performance, and maybe not a lot of long performance here out of Yu Darvish, but that bullpen is fantastic. I don't think that the Detroit bats are all that great. And then flip it over, maybe Keiter Montero can have a solid start here, not get blown away in five innings, and they can also cruise to a victory for San Diego. Do I think the Padres win? Absolutely. But maybe it's an underlook here in that ballpark with these two pitchers and these two lineups.
Let's keep it with the National League team playing some great baseball and a lot still on the line here. The Atlanta Braves, they're playing host to the Colorado Rockies, just middling along, looking towards October, saying, hey, what could we have done? And it doesn't get much easier here this afternoon. The Braves get Charlie Morton out there on the hill. Charlie Morton has been strong, 7-7 win loss. He's set at 6.5 Ks as his prop number this afternoon, and they are heavy favorites. Minus 275 after a 3-0 win last night. Is it all about the Braves to bully the Rockies again on a Wednesday, Donnie?
Yeah, it looks like it again. And the Rockies outside of Colorado certainly not showing up. And the Atlanta Braves know that every game right now, Dubs, feels like a playoff game. You got to win. You got to handle your business against bad teams like the Rockies. And Bradley Blaylock will be on the mound. His last 97 batters he's faced, a weighted on base percentage against 359, which is terrible. On the season, he's got a 352 weighted on base percentage combined against lefties and righties. That's not great. If you're looking for RBI props tonight from an Atlanta perspective, you're looking at Soler, Ozuna, and Olsen. 2, 3, and 4 in that order. If we flip it over to Colorado, Charlie Morton is just your average pitcher on the mound veteran guy. Quite frankly, if you look at his last 60 days, his ERA is close to 5, but the problem with that, Dubsy, is you would love to see Charlie Morton in Colorado in elevation against the Colorado Rockies lineup. Yesterday, I understand it was Chris Sale, maybe the best pitcher in baseball. They didn't even show up. I don't expect they show up again today, but I'm not laying close to $3 price point. I'll just look for those RBI props we talked about from 2, 3, and 4 in that Braves lineup.
Who's going to be showing up to Oracle Park for the Wednesday afternoon showdown between the Giants and the Diamondbacks? A National League West showdown here. The Diamondbacks favored, minus 142 there on the money line. No surprises. They get Zach Gallen out there on the hill. But what do we make of the Giants' chances, who will play better at home? And they get Hayden Birdsong, who's listed here, Donnie, at 4.5 Ks. He's gone over it in 4 straight. So Birdsong's obviously in control of his stuff.
Here's the problem with Birdsong. You take a look at his last 89 batters, Dubsy, high ISO power numbers against, high weighted on base percentages, which will get you in trouble with Arizona. Now, granted, San Francisco, one of the better pitching ballparks in Major League Baseball. We understand that. Cooler temperatures, big ball yard, maybe not a lot of home runs expected. But if you are looking at the last 30 days of that lineup for the Arizona Diamondbacks against right-handed pitching, Corbin Carroll, Jake McCarthy, Jock Peterson off the charts here with ISO and weighted on base percentages here. Adrian Del Castillo, as well as Eugenio Suarez, and then we'll throw in Perdomo, who's due to bat 9th. You got, looks like, 6 to 7 plus batters in the lineup tonight for the Diamondbacks. Gallen's the better pitcher. The lineup is better for the Diamondbacks. I'll lay the favorite here, and also maybe a team total with the Diamondbacks. I think they hit tonight, Dubsy. I do.
Let's go. Give us plenty of offense going off for your Wednesday evening. That's going to do it for me, Donnie. I'm going to be going off on the other side. I'm hearing whispers. It's LL Lacey joining the program. Ladies love Lacey. And Donnie, great to have football back. The Kansas City Chiefs are smashing the Ravens on Thursday night. They cut the number. Enjoy.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What an absolute treat here on a Wednesday. Dubs Anderson for the first 2.5 hours. The final half hour, yours truly, Joe Lisi, ready to step up and in right here on the early line. The vibes are high. We're ready to go. This man loves to talk, and we'll let him talk. Joe, what's up?
I can't wait. We're going to be in studio together on Thursday night. Nothing better, Donnie. So getting ready for NFL action, and obviously week number 2 of college football. Nothing better, baby.
Looks like, and some might say, like, Donnie went from 5'10 to maybe about 6'4 on that telecast here. Find out why and only right here on Pro Football Today. So we're going to have a good time getting after that. But that is Pro Football, Joe, which starts tomorrow. And we are excited. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be intriguing stuff. 8 o'clock, make sure you tune in live. Pro Football Today, in-game live. We're going to be rolling all the way through that game with a ton of bets here. But, Joe, I got a lot of questions in college football. And finally, it feels like it's been weeks, it's been months since a new poll has come out with the AP Top 25. A lot of movers and shakers. Talked about it with Dubsy a little bit earlier today. The biggest movers, USC and Miami. But if we're looking at the AP numbers right now, are we in agreement in that top five? Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, Alabama, and Notre Dame. Let's talk big boys first right now.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad top five. I think clearly on paper, Georgia's the best team, Donnie, in regards to the dominating effort at 34-3 over Clemson, completely shut down Cade Klubnik. They prove from an offense and defensive line perspective that they are the real deal. And Carson Beck is deserving of the Heisman Trophy in regards to, you know, contending for it, right? He completed 23-33, 278. I mean, he got started well into the second quarter and then just lit up the Clemson secondary. So I think clearly Georgia's the best team. The one concern I do have, Don, even though Ohio State is deserving of a top five ranking, not sold on Will Howard in the consistency in the passing attack. I need to see better throughout the next couple of weeks.
Taking a look at the rest of that top 10 here and taking a look specifically here at the top 10, number 10, Michigan with, I guess you could say, if you're looking at the odds market, Joe, right, closing line between 20 to 21, between where you're shopping at. They won by 20 points, but I walked away from that team in the top 10 going, you know what, outside of the Oregon game, I thought it was a little bit interesting. Like the win, wasn't all that explosive, six-point game in the fourth quarter. Are we worried about Michigan this season?
I don't think we're worried in terms of big picture. I think, you know, 9-3, 10-2 is going to be there for the Michigan Wolverines. They do have an identity problem early on in regards to their quarterbacks, Alec Orgie and Warren. They struggle with consistency. Rushing attack with Donovan Edwards didn't seem as dominant as they were last year. Were they holding a little in the tank? That was a Fresno State team, Don, that was averaging 305 passing yards per game. So from the defensive side of the ball, you look at what Wink Martindale did. They contained Fresno State. I think they're going to be in each and every matchup. Can they run the football? They have a 23 home game winning streak now. They have Texas coming into their house. And every time they pound the rock for over 200 over the past couple of years, they're 12-0. They're going to need that rushing attack to take over. But I think they're 9-3, 10-2. And they're going to be there for a college football playoff appearance.
And we look at them sitting in that top 10 spot right here, 10th overall, which wasn't too kind to the team that was in that 10 spot the past 2 weeks, and that was the Florida State Seminoles. Now, also, a precursor, Michigan's going to take on Texas this week, so if they get bounced, nobody's going to want that number 10 overall seeding. But let's focus on Florida State. As I use the words of Joe Lisi, a gutless performance in the Orange Bowl, gutless over there in Ireland, gutless at home on Labor Day in front of your own fans to jumpstart your season. What happened to Florida State? Or, Joe, are they just not as talented as some people thought? They were 10th overall to start the season.
All right, so let's start with the bowl loss. Mm-hmm. That was a gutless effort with second and third teamers. They had about 14 players outside of Jordan Travis that opted out for that matchup. So that wasn't really indicative of that team last year that was 13-0 in ACC champs. It carried over to this year. DJU, very inconsistent. The play calling is absolutely atrocious. They do have an identity problem. They can't run the football consistently, and that defensive front seven is nowhere near where they were last year in terms of Jared Versk and Fisk just carrying that team. I think right now Mike Norvell really needs to step in. He really needs to get into this team. But again, they're 0-2 overall. Season seems lost. Are they out of contention for an ACC championship? Only time will tell, Donnie. I know your Hurricanes are sitting at the top and they're pounding their chest with Cam Ward, but they still have to play Florida State. They're 0-2 over the past couple of seasons in regards to that. Florida State does get Clemson in their house. There is parity in regards to the ACC. I don't want to say dead and buried. They're on life support right now. They need a better effort, and they need to start it week number 3 against Memphis. But this is what happens when you have new pieces in college football and no preseason games.
Here's what I want to ask you, too, about Florida State. We know, obviously, they're not devoid of talent. They're just not playing well at this point. What's the turnaround, Joe, for them? Is it moving on from DJ Uiagalelei, or is it sticking with them and saying, we don't have any backup options? What does Mike Norvell do to say, look, the season isn't over, and if you win the ACC, you're automatically in the college football playoff? What's the next move for Florida State?
Well, the next move is they're going to be facing Memphis, right? And Memphis has got one of the better prices in regards to the group of five. They're 5-1 shot to win the college, make the college football playoff. They have a very high octane offense with Seth Hennigan. So if I'm Mike Norvell, I want to grind out a victory against Memphis any way possible. We have to get the rushing attack to take over with Cam Davis and Roy Dell Williams. Can we run it on a smaller defensive front? And can DJU obviously work off a play action? If they don't get that victory after against Memphis, Dottie, move on from them. There's no reason to stick to DJU, but they have to try and grind out a win against Memphis, find an identity, and then try to come into form when they face your Hurricanes later in the year in Clemson. Those are the two make-or-to-break-it games. If Florida State wins out and then knocks off Clemson and knocks off Miami respectively, they still have an outside chance to make the championship game.
Look at that, too. Doak Campbell down there trying to make some adjustments, renovate the stadium, sell a lot more high-priced seats. Well, that's not going to work if you're not winning football games on the field, which the Seminoles aren't doing now. One team that was really impressive this weekend was another ACC opponent. That's the Miami Hurricanes. Went in and took on Florida in the Swamp and pounded them. I was very impressed by what I saw out of Miami. And also, you did get a little bit of resilience in that game with that 70-plus yard touchdown for Florida. The Swamp turns on fire, and quickly Cam Ward moved right down the field on a two-minute drill and scored a touchdown to quiet that crowd. Loved what I saw out of Miami, and it looks like a forgiving schedule for them if they do want to win the ACC. Are we buying too much of the Hurricanes, or, Joe, is that hype warranted?
Well, it's warranted if Cam Ward could play the way he did in the Swamp. He was poised, 385 yards, three touchdowns, looked confident. He made the players around him better, and they fed off of his intensity, right? He looked like he had everything at his disposal in regards to the passing attack. If that continues, Donnie, they're going to be there, right? Offense and defensive lines, they were stepped up. They were able to run the football. The secondary was very opportunistic as well. The schedule lines up for them for at least 10 wins on paper, right? Road matchups aren't difficult. They get their first one under the belt. The problem with Miami is maintaining their focus. We've seen this time and time again, not just out of Mario Cristobal's crew, but even Mark Richt back in the day when they were 11-0 and had a college football playoff appearance staring them in the face. You can't lose to the likes of Pittsburgh. You can't lose to the likes of Georgia Tech or NC State. Can you maintain that focus? That's the biggest question if Miami's going to make a college football playoff. I'm still going to take a step back. I need to see it before I believe it.
Yeah, it should be fun to watch it play out. And me being a Miami Hurricanes fan, I'm telling you, it's been a long time. And I sat down on a Saturday to open the season. Like, you know what? They might have something. Does it equate into a national championship? Are they as good as Georgia, Ohio State, Texas, or Alabama? We'll find out. But just having meaningful Hurricane football games into late October, that would be something for me, and I'm looking forward to watch it. But you're right. Cam Ward looked every part the number one quarterback you need him to be for the Miami Hurricanes. We'll see if it plays out. The Ozbot is cooking this morning, baby. Much more hot topics on the way. The NFL is next. Find out who we think is going to win, Kansas City or Baltimore.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Did you know tomorrow morning when you wake up, NFL football will officially be on your radar? Of course you did. The Sports Grid Network has been getting you ready for this for weeks and weeks and weeks. And tomorrow, we finally go live. Joe Lisi, myself, Kevin Walsh, live in studio, 8 o'clock for kickoff tomorrow. Don't miss out. It's going to be a lot of fun, and hopefully it will be profitable. Joe, the season is upon us. You're like, the vibes are so strong right now. You guys have been in studio for a couple weeks here on College Football Today. Pro Football Today takes over. It's football, and more football, and it starts tomorrow.
Oh, I'm excited, but it's almost like week zero. We have a standalone game, right? So the one matchup, Kansas City and Baltimore, it's a rematch of the AFC Championship. We're going to be locked and loaded in regards to prop bets. I'm sure we're going to differ over across the board, Donnie, on our about how this game breaks down. Is it going to be low scoring like last year? Are we going to get this game into the 50s, potentially like that L.A. Ram-Kansas City game years ago with Goff and Mahomes? It's possible. You got me looking at that 500-plus. I could see it happening. Here's the biggest question, and I want to get your take. Lamar Jackson, Baltimore. Yep. You can't go into this game status quo. I do not want to see Baltimore trying to attack this game the way they did in terms of the AFC Championship. This is an opportunity to try and open up the offense from the passing perspective to see if you're on par with Pat Mahomes in Kansas City. They have to open it up, Donnie. Otherwise, they'll be answering questions throughout the regular season.
Look, you've had losses in the past, Joe, just being a fan of a football team and being disappointed. As a handicapper last year and gambler that had a ticket on the Baltimore Ravens win the Super Bowl, maybe the most disheartening game I've ever seen, because I've had tickets go up in flames because my team just didn't play well. But the way the Ravens prepared for that game as the better football team and then just said, let's just go opposite of what got us to this point here, was so disheartening. Now, did they learn that lesson in the offseason? It's going to be the question mark. The one thing I do like about this, Joe, is because we know one thing. They're a physical football team, talking about the Ravens here. The one thing we know about that front seven, they should be able to get after the passer, but it is Patrick Mahomes. But if we flip it over to the offensive side, you now have maybe the most ultimate physical running back in Derrick Henry. You also heard in the offseason, Joe, Lamar Jackson dropping a couple pounds to be even faster than he was last year. When you said, I know you love this too, the double tight end sets that you're going to get from Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely are going to be mismatch problems for that underwhelming secondary and also that underwhelming linebacking core. That's where I think the mismatches are going to be. But also this notion, Joe, and sometimes I get caught up in this, and I feel like throughout the offseason it played a part for me. Patrick Mahomes on one side. The other team doesn't have Patrick Mahomes. The line is 3 across the board, including at the FanDuel Sportsbook, with a total of 46.5. So you're basically saying that the Ravens are going in and are going to beat the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. How do you get around that as a handicapper? And also, what do you think happens tomorrow night?
Well, is there a Super Bowl hangover number one, right? That's the biggest thing. And let's not forget, last year in terms of Thursday night, we saw Jared Goff and Detroit go into Arrowhead and knock them off 21-20. Now, that team was a little bit different. There are new playmakers like Xavier Worthy, Marquise Brown that won't play tomorrow night in that offense. So what does this identity look like for Kansas City? It's a very difficult cap because the revenge factor for Baltimore has people buying in, especially with Derrick Henry. And then the other factor as well is that we saw Kansas City basically in back-to-back years start very slow in the month of September. But I think it's different. I think this game's going to trend to the over simply because Kansas City now has those weapons, right? You have wide receivers that could stretch the defense over the top. I think Pat Mahomes opens it up and forces Lamar Jackson to match them score for score. This is a perfect opportunity playing at home, laying a field goal. I'm inclined to lay it, Don. I like Kansas City in this matchup, and I like the over.
I do as well. I do. Even though I do think the Ravens are one of the better regular season teams you're going to find in the end, they're going to be there fighting for that number one overall seed. And also, this goes a long way, Joe, because we talk about in game number one. You're talking about one of the two top teams in the AFC odd-wise at the FanDuel Sportsbook are the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. The winner here gets that tiebreaker at the end of the season, which you know both of these teams are careening for double-digit victories here. They both tie at 12 wins. The winner of this football game is going to get the move on, and that's a big deal. Let's take a look quickly here, Joe, at some of the props in this game. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes at the FanDuel Sportsbook, his passing yards listed at 258.5. Lamar Jackson at 217.5. The rushing props, Isaiah Pacheco, 61.5 yards. Derrick Henry at 65.5. And then the pass catchers, tight ends in perspective, Travis Kelce at 58.5 yards and Mark Andrews at 46.5 yards. Andrews with that devastating injury last year, he is going to really be that safety blanket here, I believe, for Lamar Jackson. But for me, Joe, I'm really interested at the FanDuel Sportsbook. That number coming up around 45.5, 46.5 as the rushing prop for Lamar Jackson. Game number one, there's not going to be faster at any time in this season than game number one. I think he has a good game with his legs, Joe.
And he might push a little bit, right? Because he lost the AFC Championship. Correct. All eyes on a national stage looking at Lamar Jackson. So I like the look, Don. I'll tell you what, I really like Pat Mahomes over the 258.5. I might alt him in the area of 300 because I think this offense is going to look completely different now in this season, looking for a three-peat. I know last year they relied on the rushing attack with Pacheco. I think this year they go back to basics and utilize the best quarterback in the NFL. And I'll say this about Derrick Henry. His rushing prop is, what, 65.5, 68 in that area? Keep an eye out for Derrick Henry in the screen game. That's another added dimension. So his receiving yards in this matchup could be the safety blanket to Mark Andrews as well for Lamar Jackson in this ballgame.
Yeah, it should be. You can't pick a better starting weekend, Joe, just to get excited about what the NFL is going to provide to us. An awesome game on Thursday night. Friday night, you have the Packers and the Philadelphia Eagles from Brazil. Then they have that Sunday night football game. It's Detroit. It's Matthew Stafford returning back home. And then the Monday night game, which, again, we're going to be back together in studio watching it play out between the 49ers and the New York Jets. So tomorrow it gets underway. Look, getting that game day together, how it plays out in studio, getting there early, Joe. I'm looking forward to it, man. We're going to have a blast tomorrow night.
I can't wait. Watching the game with you and Kevin is great. And we're going to be on air as well, right? So people get to see the game day crew play it out, and we'll have a lot of fun and hopefully win a lot of money tomorrow night.
Joe, over under 5.5 plays where me and you are looking at our phone, getting that instant information on the play that just had upsetting one Kevin Walsh at all is going to happen tomorrow night. The Sports Grid Network for NFL. We got you covered. Joe Lisi talking a little Texas, Michigan coming up next. Stay tuned for that.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the early line, Donnie Wrightside had to go grab lunch before 12 o'clock. He's always looking to grab lunch, but it's great to be back with Donnie and Kevin Walsh tomorrow night. NFL action kicks off. Game day crew will be on in regards to in-game live 8 to midnight. So keep an eye out in regards to Sports Grid. We're going to do 3-1, Joe Friezo, in regards to all the selections for bye, bye, bye. So give it to me. Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
Oh, I sound so good on air, I tell you. I should be a singer. So today, in regards to the totals, I'm going with Milwaukee and Cincinnati. Total, I believe, is 9. Arrighetti's on the mound. I'm going to go over the 9, alt it up to 10.5, possibly, in regards to that matchup. The other one is the Minnesota Twins and Tampa Bay Rays. Now, Tampa Bay, to me, what is it? Houston. All right. So I thought it was Milwaukee. I was looking at it. Houston and Cincinnati. Total is 9. Arrighetti's on the mound. Cincinnati, for me, has been a team hot and cold. They come out, they could score 9 runs any night, or they could come out and be shut out within the first 6 innings in regards to the matchup. But I do like Houston and Cincinnati to sail through the total. The other one in regards to the AL is Tampa Bay and Minnesota. That line for typically is 7.5 for Rays games. You're getting a flat 8, minus 110 either way. I actually think this game tonight could get into the 9 or 10 area. So keep an eye out for that. I'm always on the Rays in terms of totals. They've been starting to come into form, and Minnesota is one of the better over teams in regards to the AL. So we'll see how that plays out tonight. So going over Houston, Cincinnati, over Minnesota, Tampa Bay. I think I'm 3-1 straight up on the show. So we'll see if we can continue the momentum a little bit later. College football on the horizon in regards to week number 2. You heard Donnie say that I'm going to be breaking down Michigan and Texas. That's the big matchup, 12 noon. You have this line right now, 7.5 in regards to FanDuel. Total is dropping. It was about 44.5 earlier in the week. You're seeing 42.5. So a couple of notes to make out in regards to this matchup. In the offseason on FanDuel, this line was about 3.5 in favor of Quinn Ewers and the Texas Longhorns. They dominated Colorado State last week. That line was 35.5, opened on FanDuel, went down to 31.5, 32, right before, about 3 hours before kick, and then we saw more movement coming on the Longhorns. It closed at 34.5. Ewers threw for 268 in terms of that matchup, had a huge first half. Isaiah Bond as well added 61 yards to transfer from Alabama. You have speed versus the defense of Wink Martindale. They contained Mikey Keene last week. Like I said, forced them to methodically work down the field, and I think that's the defensive game plan for Michigan heading into this matchup. Numbers. To me, they favor Michigan. They are riding right now a 23-game home winning streak dating back the past 2.5 years. Last year, they won those games at home by an average margin of victory of 26.8 points per game. They get the victory last week, 30-10. They laid 21.5, so they got the win, but no cover against Fresno State. Rushing attack was a little bit inconsistent. Donovan Edwards held to 27 yards. Even though they rush for over 100 as a team, I think he's going to need to be a factor in this matchup. You saw Alex Orji and Warren struggle as it related to the passing game. I think Sherrone Moore wants to run the football up against Texas's defensive front. They were able to contain Colorado State. Can they do it on the road in the Big House? That remains to be seen. When you look at Michigan over the past couple of seasons, they are 12-0 every time they pound the rock for over 200 yards. They won those games last year by an average margin of victory of 23.1 points per game. I think that's the difference. Texas scores first, but in the end, I'm going to call for the outright win. 24-20, Michigan knocks off Quinn Ewers and Texas. They move potentially into the top five with that win. And don't count out the Wolverines' big picture for a Big Ten championship. Everybody talking about Ohio State. Everybody talking about Drew Aller and Penn State. Keep an eye out for this gutty Michigan team. They're going under the radar. They're plus 850 now in terms of multiple odds, so keep an eye out for that. Donnie and Ben will be back tomorrow breaking down all the action, including that matchup in regards to Kansas City. Greg Misch coming up next with the Newswire. We'll see you tomorrow night. Have a great week, everyone.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.